Good evening, everyone. A warm welcome to all of you. It's nice to have you join us for our prayer meeting. So let's commit this time before God as we prepare our hearts to listen to His word. Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for your love. We want to thank you that you hold us, Lord, that you keep us in your love, that you are a merciful and kind God. We pray even as we work through, Lord, the psalm, that your heart will be revealed, that miracles will happen. We will truly embrace the salvation and the favor that comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we'll be looking at Psalm 103. And in our journey, it's very important for us to come back to the gospel. Some of the psalms point to the gospel. We must always be mindful of what the Lord has done for us, how he has treated us. And so we're going to do Psalm 103. The entire psalm has 24 verses, and we're going to break it into two parts. We'll do one part this week, and we'll finish it off the following week. So let me read the psalm to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known all his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. When he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Okay, I do believe, as you look at the slide and you read the first point, I think all of us can agree that time to time we find ourselves struggling with our faith. We find this whole journey of faith an uphill journey, an uphill battle, perhaps a huge burden like the scripture. And we constantly put the burden of doing the right things on ourselves. We constantly feel that we have failed God, and we have failed others, and sometimes we'd like to apologize profusely, and sometimes we're kind of desperate, you know, that we are stuck. But what we must be mindful is that, you know, God loves us, and God knows our weaknesses, and he wants us to look to him for grace, help, and direction. And so when you have heard the psalm, as it was read to you just now, you would realize that a lot of what is mentioned in the psalm is what God is doing for us, what God had done for us, what God has done throughout the whole history of of mankind, you know, how he has treated mankind. And as much as the psalmist refers to events of the past, he also sees the same nature, the same kindness of God actively present in his own life. And that's what I do want you to keep in mind, who God is, and how whatever we do and however we feel, it cannot change who God is. It cannot change his heart. It cannot change his mind. Okay, so we have to look to him for his grace and his goodness. So Psalm 103 instructs us not to forget. We must remember that even though we are frail and weak, the Lord is kind and good to us. His goodness has and will see us through. When we try to do things with our own strength, we undertake a burden we are unable to bear. We cannot change ourselves, the things around us, with our own strength. Only God can change us, and only he can heal this world. And that's the gospel. That's, you know, part of it. That's what the cross speaks to us about. It's why Jesus came, because only he can save us. Only he can transform us. Only he can grant us new life. Okay, and it always starts there. And so whatever your challenge, whatever your situation, the answer is him. The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is the cross, the resurrection. And the answer is having faith in Him. Other than that, it's all work. It's unbearable. It's too big for us. It is beyond us. We just cannot do it. So in this psalm is that invitation, you know, to remember what God has done. So what we must also be mindful of these few things, because when we fail and when we start to become too preoccupied with our successes and our failures, then we kind of buy into a very destructive idea. So, I mean, the reasoning goes like this: if our godliness dependent on ourselves, then we have no need for God. We will only see Him as a judge who judges our efforts and not as a shepherd who leads and strengthens us. If He is just a judge and not a loving Father, then there will be no place for gratefulness and worship. All right? After all, it is by our good works we have earned His approval, and therefore we should be honored for our efforts. Since this is wholly our effort, all success should rightly be credited to us. And what will happen to our spiritual lives if such thinking were to govern our efforts? I think if you recall the story of the prodigal son, you can see that the older son, you know, was so judgmental of the father and of the prodigal son, okay, because he thought he had earned his place, and then he thought, you know, he didn't get the treatment he deserved, and therefore he was totally oblivious to the mercy and the kindness of God. And Jesus said that because He was referring to the Pharisees of the time, because all their religion was based on their credentials, on their achievements. And so that's the point here. You know, if we chase that part, I mean, at one point it may seem we are being so humble and we are so, you know, caught up in our own limitations. But if we tend to succeed in any way, then it's going to be about us. And again, it's going to be a very destructive idea. Okay. So the point here is the psalmist is singing this song, you know, he is thanking God because he is grateful to God. All right. And unlike other psalms, he's not forcing himself to remember so that he may feel gratitude. Rather, in the presence of God, he is made aware that there are a whole lot of reasons to be thankful for. God is good to us, and He is working in and through our lives because He loves us. The psalm is a song of thanksgiving for all that the Lord has done. And I think that's the whole point here. Okay? I mean, as we work through the psalm, we will have to ask these questions. You know, when we look at our own lives and we look what is happening, you know, are we looking at our progress through the eyes of our loving Father, or are we the ones who are judging our own progress? Are we the one who are filling up the scorecards as how well we are doing? Now, because if we are the one who's praising our own selves, then it will indeed be hard to see God's goodness in our life. But if we can ask the Holy Spirit, you know, to show us where we were, you know, and what is happening in our lives, then we begin to see that there are many reasons that would compel us to worship the Lord, to be grateful to God. So the psalmist invites us to worship. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name." To bless God is an act of adoration. You know, we admire, venerate, respect, and gaze at God with awe, wonder, and praise. This is what we are made for. We worship the Lord, for He is good, and He has saved us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So that's the key point, all right? You know, and it's to adore God, to venerate God like the psalm, because as he's saying, you know, the story of humanity, we mess up, we make mistakes, we do this, we do that, but God is good, God is good, God is good, you know, and we come to terms that God is good, you know, and we admire Him for it, and we venerate Him and respect and gaze at Him with awe and wonder, because His steadfast love endures forever, okay? You know, whatever happened, He made a way to save us. He sent His only Son. You know, we have received forgiveness and kindness. So that's the thing, all right, is what God has done for us. And there are some quotes here. Andrew Murray, he says, "Each time before you intercede, be quiet first and worship God in His glory. Think of what he can do and how he delights to hear the prayers of his redeemed people. Think of your place and privilege in Christ and expect great things. And that's the thing. You know, a lot of times, when we pray, we are asking ourselves what qualifies us to pray, all right? But the thing is, you ask because the other person is able to give, all right? You go to a doctor because the doctor is able to treat your illness. And that's the thing. It's not your qualification. It's not my qualification. It's the qualification of the person whom we ask of, all right? The person whom we look to. And that's the thing, that God has given us permission to pray in his name. And therefore, when we worship him first, because we have to sit and think what he's willing to do for us, what he's willing to pour out in our lives, how much he cares for us, all right? And only when we understand that, then, we can ask freely. We can know that the request is not dependent on our achievements, but rather on who God is. And N.T. Wright says this, and this is a very powerful theme in the Bible. It's an exciting theme that comes up in the book of Revelation. So he says that is what worship is all about. It is the glad shout of praise that arises to God, the creator, and God, the rescuer from the creation that recognizes its maker. The creation that acknowledges the triumph of Jesus the Lamb. That is the worship that is going on in heaven and in God's dimension all the time. The question we ought to be asking is how best we might join it. And you find, one of the important theme of worship as people lift up the Lamb of God, because they are grateful. None of them are there by their own accord. None of them made it there by what they did, but they were saved. God gave his son, Christ shed his blood so that they may come. And that's the song of praise in heaven. And we are called to join in that song of praise because we are the people who are saved, part of God's chosen people. Okay, so let's look at the second to fifth verse, all right? So he says here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Okay. Now, first of all, when you look at the word benefits, it's a loaded word. Okay. And I think in this present world and perhaps in the context of prosperity gospel or all the things that are happening in this world, benefits means a lot. A lot of what benefits is kind of defined by worldliness, all right, by this world itself. But what we have to be mindful is this is spiritual blessing. This is something from above, not from this world. And this world cannot define it, contain it, or understand it. Okay. So when you read the psalm, the feel again, you get the picture that the psalmist knows that he was and tend to be in a place that is not good. All right. He's in iniquity, he's in sin. All right. And the psalms mentioned sins several times and mentioned three different words for sin, okay? So, sinful, all right? And we all can understand that. That's the place we are pretty familiar with, and we find ourselves in that place time and time again. Then we are sick, unwell, unwhole, all right? Okay, and that's true. And then there is in a pit, okay? And we kind of sometimes feel, that how this whole world is spiraling towards destruction. We cannot avoid death. We feel the effects of broken world around us, all right? And sometimes we feel stuck that way. And we are weary, exhausted, and broken. So that is the place, all right? And that's the spiritual reality. And that's the thing that people can't run away from, though they may try to remove this pain by doing all kinds of things, but this reality remains. If you read every song, read every book, many books, and you hear many songs, it kind of speaks of this condition. If you look at the media, the news, and so forth, it highlights this condition again and again. All right, so this is the state of humanity, but God has intervened, God has spoken, God has revealed himself, okay, and what God has done, okay, for us. He forgives all our sins, he heals us. He redeems our life out from the pit. Okay, you know, we are no more under the powers of death, destined to destruction, but rather we are redeemed, paid for, removed. You know, someone gave his life so that we may come out of it, and we ourselves have life. We don't feel ourselves being under the clutches of death, entangled by death, but we have life at work at us. And I think what you must be mindful of, all of us must be mindful of, when we look at this verse, we should think of eternity. We should think of eternal life. You know, we should think of all the promises of eternal life in the Gospels. You know, that even though we die here, we will rise. You know, Christ will raise us from the death and give us a new body, and we will live in eternity in his goodness for all, you know, for all eternity. So that's the thing, all right? So it's a different, rather than, you know, warring and suffering the consequences and the dilemma of a broken, dying world, we see life at work within us. And then God crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. And that's the thing. Okay, steadfast love and mercy. Hesed, you know, and that's a theological word, important word, the faithful love of God. All right. And I think this, you know, we need to understand. Okay. I mean, it's like this. When God sees us and God calls us and God saves us, you know, what qualifies us is he's doing, okay? His work. So every time we sin or you know, every time we disappoint God, okay, every time we make a huge mistake and do things wrong, and even have to suffer the consequences of that sin. But one thing remains, God still loves us and God still sticks with us, you know, if we choose to remain in him, okay? All right, you know, and God, in all his strength and his goodness, draws us back to his love, to his goodness. All right, so his steadfast love remains. That's the thing. And that's what the psalm is celebrating here, because he knows, you know, we are not steadfast. We can't say that we are not the same yesterday, today, forever, but God is. And then the other important thing is he satisfies our soul that we may be renewed. And that's the thing, that constant hunger and search in this broken world, you know, and that the lack of satisfaction, of meaning, of purpose, you know, drains us. But God satisfies us and we are renewed by his strength. So what you must be mindful is these things cannot be earned, all right? They are benefits given to us, okay? And they are given by God. And these are the benefits we receive when we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, okay? And there is no point in life we can earn any of this, okay? We ask for forgiveness. We ask for healing. You know. It is God who gives us new life. It is God who is steadfast, right? And it's only God who can satisfy our soul. So this is what we must dwell on. But the problem is at times we are so demanding and our expectations of ourselves and those around us get so loud that we forget or ignore the many things others are doing and have done for us. Okay? We want to have our way so badly that we have not learned to rest in God's goodness. The fact is that there are a lot of benefits in being a follower of Jesus. Whether we acknowledge it or not, these benefits and blessings are working for us. The psalmist cannot ignore the list of benefits, and he blesses the Lord for all of it. Okay. And that's the point, you know, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we see it or not, God is God, right? God is working. God has come. Okay. And you know, God sends his people, God covers us with his love, God helps us, all right, because God is faithful, and that's who he is. So as you look at the things that God has done as compared to what Sami has done, you get the feeling that the Lord must really love this person. I mean, that's the thing, yes or not? I mean, you can see here the psalmist is saying he's frail, he's weak, but God is just blessing him, you know, and forgiving him and loving him. You know, and he feels God so close. So he said, wow, this guy is so loved. This person is so cared for by God. But the fact is, this is how God treats every one of his children. He loves us that way. Okay. It's just that, you know, we just ask Him to help us be more aware of that generous love. So the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. And I've said this again and again, you know, one of the key stories of oppression in the Bible is the story of Israel in slavery in Egypt, and how God rescued them. And for us, the story of oppression is our Egypt is sin, you know, under the power, the darkness of sin. And God has liberated us. Right? And that's the thing. Okay. God does not want to oppress you. That's not His way. You know, He doesn't enslave us. That's why this whole story about love and Jesus Christ, because that's the only way, you know, that God can invite us into His saving grace. He can easily oppress us, you know, by will, you know, by His sovereign command, but He will not. As Jesus says, you know, God can easily send armies of angels to free Him from suffering on the cross, but God does not. God gives, God allows us, you know, to know Him. He reveals, He engages in conversation. So don't make your Christianity oppressive. Don't consider God as Pharaoh or Satan or those worldly powers. You know, love for money is oppressive. The love for power and pride, all these are very oppressive forces. But God is not like that. He's the total opposite. So He helps us to break free from all forms of oppression. He's our deliverer and He's our advocate, because He will stand for us, you know, in the face of oppression. He not only liberates us, He also teaches us His ways that we may remain free from the forces of oppression. And this is what God does for us. So the psalm continues. All right, we will read the last few verses. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Okay. I mean, it's kind of interesting what I highlighted in yellow. You begin to see that, you know, God is always the one bearing the load. Okay? There's something wrong with the scales here. You know, we deserve bad treatment. We deserve to be cast out. We deserve all that is due to us. All right? But God does not treat us that way. Somehow, you know, He takes it on Himself to treat us as His children, because He loves us. And there's no other person who treats us this way. If you look at Twitter or media, you know, there are scathing remarks on political leaders and so forth. No one is forgiving, you know, people will just lash out and so forth. And it's very rare and hard to find such people who are kind and thoughtful. Okay, and definitely a lot of people want to humiliate you and make sure you get what you deserve when you have done something wrong. And this is how things are in this world. And perhaps that's what we even believe should be the way things should be done. And in fact, and we are kind of hard on ourselves when we fail. All right? But here He says, you know, God is different. All right? And He's different because He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And that will be the second part of the psalm. All right? Which we will do next week. But look at who God is. Okay? Look at the extent He goes, the kindness that He displays, and how the people of God experience it. Okay, so the above section speaks much about the grace and favor of God, you know, has lavished on His people. Okay, He will not always chide, and we know what chide and rebuking is. You know, some of us have grown up in homes and situations where, you know, words are used in such a way to always keep us in check and place. And it's caused a lot of hurt and rejection and lack of confidence in our heart. Okay, but that's not God. That's not His language. He's not that kind of parent or leader that, you know, he does not always chide. Okay, He's not always angry. And this is a very wrong way the world has portrayed God, but God is not an angry God. Okay, because the fact is, He does not deal with us according to our sins. In fact, He has removed our transgression that is no more before us, and He treats those who revere Him as His children. Okay, and so the picture, that's the thing. And our God is just giving. And we can understand that simply because He gave us His Son. And that's what Romans chapter 8 says. You know, if God is willing to give His only Son, what else you want? You know, as proof that God will be with you, that nothing can separate you from His love. The fact that He has gone as far, you know, as He can go, the most dearest in His life, His own, is given to us. That's that. Okay, that's God, right? So we are weak and prone to error, and we cannot get by if God has not lavished us with His grace and mercy. And that's the thing we all need to understand. Okay, this is the most important part of Christianity. This is the good news, right? We are weak and prone to error. And if God, you know, is not like how Jesus is not forgiving us seven times 70, if God is not gracious and merciful, we will never make it. We need a big God with a big heart, with a heart full of love, with a heart that is fatherly and kind, you know, to carry us through. And that's what we know. I mean, because we are so frail. And that's what God has called us to be, the kind of community that would represent this love. Because we are frail. You know, we are weak. And it needs that kind of huge, big, consistent, abundant love from God to keep us going. So many failures in our life to a point that God should constantly chide us, but He does not. He shifts the conversation, speaking to us in ways that helps us. We tend to fail Him in a way that expect Him to remain angry with us. He does hate our sin and chastise us when necessary, yet He is not an angry and demanding God. If He were so, He would treat us as we deserve, but He does not. Instead, He treats us as His children. He is able to love us as children because He has removed our sins and have crowned us with steadfast love and mercy. He has crowned us with steadfast love and mercy. And that is what God has done for each one of us. This is the benefits that we have received. So a big God, a big heart, you know, that's who He is. All right. And that's the thing, for He knows our frame. He remembers that we are just. He knows we are fragile. And that's the thing about Jesus. You know, one of these verses that I always keep in mind, because you know, that's how my faith is, all right, you know, time to time, a smoldering wick, bruise, reed, all right? It's like that picture, you know, it's like going to die, it's so weak, it's dead, all right? You know, and when I come before God, you know, He's kind, He's good, and He rebuilds, and He helps, and He develops, and He strengthens. And when I'm weak, He's strong, and He's gracious, and He's kind. And in Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 to 21 says, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory in his name. In his name, the Gentiles will hope." And if you can picture all the events in the gospel, you know, all the strong, powerful people, they had no time for Jesus. But all the people who realize the problem of humanity, how broken we are, how fragile we are, they would be attracted to Christ because He spoke life, He spoke healing, He renewed, He restored, He loved, you know, and He renewed the lives of those who came towards Him. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. You know, the words, the presence of Jesus is made alive in our hearts. He sets us on fire. He strengthens us. His power will keep us going. So He knows we are weak and frail. And we must know that we are weak and frail. We must know that we need His help in our life. So what do you need? The needs of the frail. Do you need kindness? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need deliverance? Do you need someone to show you steadfast love, patient and persevering love, patient with you as you help you slowly work out things in your life and develop the ministries and respond to God's call? Do you need the love of a father who, you know, can be strong and loving and all of it at once, who's able to chastise you, correct you, rebuke you, but same time hold you firmly in his tender hands and in his embrace, saying, all this is for you, my child, my daughter, because I love you, because I care for you. Do you have a God who wants to be involved in your life? Speaks to you, gives you instruction. You need healing. You need renewal and restoration. You need hope and encouragement. These are the benefits of those who serve him. And you should ask God for all of this. You should wait on him. You should remind yourself that he is so gracious and free with all of these gifts. And he will fill us. So in this psalm, there is an invitation and there is a reminder, you know, God is good to those who fear the Lord. And what it means to fear the Lord is to never bring God to our level. He is not like us, you know. I mean, we can be tired of people. We can be impatient. We can get fed up. We can think that certain things cannot be helped and so forth. And certain people cannot change. And I cannot change, and you, whatever it is, we can say all those things, but that's us. Okay, that's not God. All right, you know, he can move mountains. You know, we can look at a mountain and shiver and say there is no hope here, but he, nothing, you know, he, there's nothing that can stop him from winning. So to fear the Lord is not to make him lesser than who he is. Let us not consider him in any way lesser than who he is. He is God. He is the Lord who is revealed in scriptures, revealed in Christ, you know, revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, that kind, loving God, you know, that servant heart, you know, that one whose yoke is light and easy, who is gentle and lowly, the one who speaks to sinners, who embraces the broken, you know, who displays the lavish love of the Father, that's him. Okay, to fear him is to recognize him for who he is, and not make him, you know, depict him as an angry, judgmental God, or as a God where, you know, just gives us a blank check and says we can do anything, whatever we want, you know, and pursue our own glory. You know, this is about him, you know, this is about him saving us. He who made us, he is the only one who can save us and restore us. But the thing is, you know, whatever our need is, all right, whatever you're going through, come to God. And church, I do want to encourage you. First of all, I'm grateful to God that, you know, the past 2 years, during challenging times, the Lord has carried us through. And I've heard many testimonies from you of what the Lord has done. But I do want to highlight the important point. You know, this is the amazing thing about God. He displays his love through his people. Okay, he not only loves us, he teaches us how to carry his love. And his image is seen in us. And that's the beauty about it. You know, in all the things that have happened, I've always received encouraging words and prayers and guidance and support from all of you. Okay, and vice versa. And you can, and that's the most beautiful thing. That's a constant reminder that God is moving in this church. God is transforming his people. And I would encourage you, you know, to look to others, you know, and believe that there, if you need help, you can speak to others, you can share your needs, you can get someone to pray with you, to talk to you, because you know, right, the love of the Father brings us together, works through our lives, okay? So it doesn't have to be this direct connection. You shouldn't demand those things, because through the years, God has raised men and women. God has raised his church, you know, to be the very instruments of his love. You know, his love flows into our hearts, overflows into the lives of other people. So whatever the need is, come to the Father, open your hearts, you know, to his people, to the things that he's saying to you. Surely you will be amazed, and like the psalm, yes, you will say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. So we have all these prayer needs, and I have a few there first, and after that, the second section, Andrew lead us in a time of prayer. But as I even put up these needs, if there's anything that you want to pray for, please do pray. Okay, and look to the Lord. And again, as I say, we all are here to pray, not because of who we are, because of who he is. So I encourage you to pray with that boldness, with that expectation, with that hope. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you. We want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you for your word and your goodness in our life. And we pray that we will know this, dear God. It's just us, Lord, to be too caught up with ourselves, with our dilemma, our failures, that we forget, Lord, you know us, you know how free we are. And you want us to be acquainted with your lavish grace and love, Lord, because it's your kindness, it's your love, Lord, that will move us to be more like you, Lord. We must learn to receive love. We must learn to immerse ourselves in your grace and mercy. So, Lord, let's come, Lord Father. Let's come to you, Lord Father, who gives so freely. Let us come to the cross where your blood flows freely, Lord. Where there is so much grace and mercy and forgiveness for those who are in need. I pray, Lord, if anyone here in this church feels discouraged, if anyone is carrying a sense of condemnation, if everyone feels that they have not made the mark, they are not qualified, or they have been sidelined, I pray, Lord Father, at this very moment that you encourage them and you speak to them, that you would remind them, Lord Father, of who you are, that they will, Lord Father, know, Lord, and of your presence, of your love, of your steadfast love in your life. I pray, Lord Father, that in all this, in all the challenges that we face, what's happening in this world, Lord, that you will constantly renew us and heal us. We pray, Lord, for the renewing work of the Holy Spirit, that we will be filled with the Spirit, that we will learn, Lord, how to seek the anointing and the infilling of the Spirit each day. That we will believe, Lord Father, that we are not left alone. You, God, the Holy Spirit, is with us, empowering your people, bringing about the many benefits, Lord, that comes through Christ. Let us, Lord, most of all, discover the joy of worship. Dear Lord, that we, no matter where we are, we can look at you and praise you because you will see us through. You will bring into completion what you have begun. You have saved us. You will continue to make us more and more like you. So we have every right now to worship, adore you for all the good things you have done. Continue, Lord, to root us in your love, to strengthen us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you to acknowledge, Lord, that we are free. We are like dust. We know, Lord, how difficult life is for so many people. And when you saw all the crowds, Lord, you were filled with compassion because of the struggles, Lord, that people bore, that they were lost. And you said, pray, Lord, for workers. And we pray that you send our church out of there, Lord. You send us, Lord, that you move us, Lord, to show your love, to show your compassion to others. We pray, Lord, that many will be safe, Lord, from oppression. Many, Lord, more will discover the joy and forgiveness. Many more will have freedom, Lord, from the pit, Lord, from death, Lord, and find your life, Lord, operating in them. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, for salvation to move, Lord, across the land, Lord, where we are, Lord, lead us to people who need all the ministries, Lord, continue to use each one of it, Lord, to not only disciple, Lord, but to bring people, Lord, into your kingdom, into your saving grace. We pray, Lord, Father, that you would show us, Lord, what to do. Even though these challenging times, we lean on you for wisdom and understanding and direction. Our trust is in you, Lord, to protect us. And even all the ministry leaders who are still working out how to restart and how to run some of their programs, Lord, with all this SOPs, we pray, Lord, you will guide them, that you will assure us of your presence and your leading. Even as we gather to pray and worship you every Sunday, we pray that you will protect us and you would build our lives and you would strengthen us, Lord. But more, Lord, Father, we pray this coming year, you would reveal your heart for the broken, Lord, to us, that we will believe, Lord, that we will be moved, Lord, Father, into the harvest fields to see, Lord, your glory, your goodness, heal this land, Lord, the people around us. We thank you, Father. We thank you, dear Lord, that we can gather in your name. Continue to bless us and lead us, Lord, Father. I just pray even the word that is spoken today will bring restoration and healing. That we will not give up, Lord, because you never give up. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.